Go with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 3, and I want to talk to you about power to take hold. Power to take hold. Mark chapter 3. We're going to read the first five verses. Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, says, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Let's pray this morning. Lord, you've put something in my heart. Lord, just in a time of prayer and reading through this story, God, you begin to speak to my heart about something. Lord, the power to take hold, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord, the words that come out of my mouth, Lord, that you would just anoint them. And Lord, that they would go into our hearts, God. And Lord, you know the need of each heart. You know the things that we are believing for that have been birthed by the Spirit of God. And God, would you just allow this word to prosper, Lord, in those places that you are sending it, God. And Father, ultimately it goes back to your goodness and your faithfulness in our life, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, what you're doing in our life and what you're going to do in our life, Lord. We thank you, God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 In the story we just read is about a man, the Bible says, had a withered hand. And the word withered here actually means to be dried up, to be desiccated. And the reason why his hand is dried up, the reason why his hand is withered, is because there's no flow of blood there. There's no flow of life there. And what I want us to notice, that if life is going to flow there, then it's going to take supernatural life. It's going to take a life that's beyond the strength of man, beyond the help of man. See, earthly physicians are powerless to restore this man's hand. Earthly remedies are powerless to restore this man's hand. So it's going to take something of the supernatural. It's going to take supernatural life. And just for a moment, I want us to think about the hand for a moment. You see, beloved, the hand is an instrument. The hand is a tool that God has given his people, and it really has a variety of uses. First of all, the hand has the ability to express tenderness. You know, I think about parents and their children. You know, the hand has the ability to express tenderness, and the hand has the ability to comfort. The hand has the ability to wipe away tears, and the hands have the ability to hold. I think about, secondly, the hand has the ability to work, whether on a construction job or in the office at a computer. Our hand is a very needful part of our work. There are so many things that we cannot accomplish without our hands. Say amen. Amen. How are you this morning? You all right? Amen. Thirdly, the hand has the power to take hold of something. You know, every day of our life, we use our hands so many times to take hold of things. You know, whether it is a light grip or a very firm grasp, we use our hands to take hold of things. So, beloved, my point is, in restoring this withered hand, Jesus is restoring it for the purpose in which it was intended. And in my heart, I can't help but strongly sense that Jesus is speaking something in this. He's speaking not only to this man, but he's speaking to all his people for all the ages to come. And what he's speaking is this. I am giving you the power to take hold of the things that God is setting before your life. Places where all you have known is strengthlessness. Places where all you have known is paralysis. Places where all you have known is barrenness. I have come so that my life, supernatural life, can flow into these places and empower you to overcome and take hold of what God is setting before your life. And beloved, here's really the heart of my message. It's impossible to come into a church service. It's impossible to come into a community of people where the atmosphere is just impregnated with faith and with hope and with truth and with mercy. The atmosphere is just impregnated with all these things. And at times in your life, not hear God begin to speak to you about taking hold of things that go so far beyond your strength. Amen. It's so hard to be in an atmosphere where God's people are together. And there's a message of hope, and there's an atmosphere of faith and the great things that God wants to do in our life. It's hard to be in that kind of setting and at times not hear God begin to speak to your heart that there are things I want you to take hold of that is so far beyond your strength. Amen. Beloved, can I say this? Every time, not sometimes, not most of times, but every time I come into a service, whether it's a church service or it's a chapel service, and my heart is really open to hear, and somebody's declaring hope, and somebody's declaring the mercy of God, and somebody's declaring just believing God to do the impossible. Every time I'm in that kind of service, I never fail to hear something in my heart of God say, believe me for the impossible. It's impossible to be sitting in a service like this with a heart that really wants to hear and not feel the Lord begin to speak to you and challenge you. I want you to believe for something. Listen, when you enter a service and your heart is really open and you're really there to receive from the Lord, and somebody begins to declare under the anointing about hope and about God's mercy, every time God will speak to your heart, I want you to believe for something. Something that's so far beyond your strength. Something that I want to do in your life. Something I want you to take hold of. Beloved, I always hear God speak to my heart. Believe that I can give you strength in places of lameness. Believe that I can give you freedom in places of captivity. Believe that I can produce godly character in places that are so marred by sin. I have come for this one purpose, that my life in you will go into the withered places, the dry places, the powerless places, and give you the power to take hold of what God is setting before your heart. Amen. So I guess the question then becomes, what is God telling you to take hold of? In the deep secret places of your heart, what is it that God is speaking to you to have the courage to believe for and to have the courage to ask for? What are the things in the deep places of your heart that are so far beyond you, so far beyond yourself, so far beyond your strength, yet God is saying, have the courage to take hold of? What is he asking? You know, I can't help but be reminded of Elisha's journey with Elijah. And Elijah's ready to go and be with the Lord, and he turns to Elisha and he says, before I go be with the Lord, what is it that I can do for you? And out of the incredible neediness of Elisha's heart, Elisha ultimately basically says to Elijah, before you go and leave me to face this spiritual darkness alone, before you go and you leave me where I have to face this spiritual darkness without you, what you can do for me, Elijah, is this, that you would give me a double portion. You see, it was out of the incredible neediness of his heart that he says, Elijah, when you go, I'm going to need the double portion. And do you remember Elijah's response? Elijah said to Elisha, you have asked a hard thing. But beloved, can I tell you, Elisha didn't ask a hard thing. He asked an impossible thing. You see, it was impossible for the strength of man to answer this prayer. If he was going to have the double portion that he would need facing that spiritual darkness, God would have to answer that prayer. It was something that God would do. But here's the question that I'm getting at. God answered that prayer. The mantle came down and he took up the mantle and God answered that prayer. But why did God answer that prayer? Because God was the one who put that prayer in his heart in the first place. That prayer didn't come out of his own heart. That prayer didn't come out of his own spirit. God planted that prayer in his heart because he wanted Elisha to have it. That's why he prayed the prayer. And beloved, my point is simply this, that in our journey with God and walking with God, we're going to have those Elisha moments. We're going to have those helpless moments. We're going to have those moments when we stand so needy before God. When we need something from the Lord that is so far beyond ourselves, so far beyond our strength. And God's going to respond to that neediness by saying, have the courage to ask because I'm the one that put the prayer in your heart to begin with. God is the one who's going to do that. Beloved, God is going to say, come to our heart. And he's going to say, pray and believe for freedom in places of captivity. Pray and believe for strength in places of weakness. Pray and believe for places of transformation and those places where all you have ever known is defeat. The Lord says, I want you to pray for these things. I want you to take hold of them in faith. I want you to have the courage to ask that one prayer that's absolutely impossible, but you can't get it out of your heart. The reason why you can't get it out of your heart is because I put it there. What is your place of captivity? Are you seeking deliverance? Pray because I put it there. What are those places in your life that you want to see change, but they don't seem to change and they don't seem to change? But there's just something in your heart that says, God, you are able to change this. God says, take hold of it by faith and pray because I can change it. I put that prayer in your heart. And I've given you the power to take hold of it by faith. Amen. Well, it's impossible to speak on this story without addressing the problem of the religious leaders and Pharisees in this story. You see, this whole story is about the Pharisees and religious leaders are in the synagogue and they're hoping that Jesus will heal on the Sabbath because they want to accuse him. And listen, we can talk about that in a variety of ways. But really what it all comes down to is this. They're offended at the mercy of God. I mean, if you look at the one scripture above this story, Jesus says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So they're there waiting for him to violate their Sabbath rule so they can accuse him. And really what they're offended with is that the mercy of God would break their Sabbath rules and heal something that's broken. So they're offended at the mercy of God in this story. And beloved, the one question that comes to my heart is this. Are there places in our own heart and mind where God's mercy is a stumbling block? Are there places in our own heart and mind where we are offended by God's great mercy? In other words, are we plagued with this question? How can God keep covering this one area of weakness in my life over and over again? How can God keep covering this one place of failure in my life over and over again? This one area in my life where I just seem to fail over and over again, this one area of my life where I just can't seem to come into complete victory. How can he keep covering it over and over and over again in his mercy? Beloved, is there places in our own heart where we are offended at God's mercy even in our own life? That was the stumbling block they tried to cast before Jesus. You know, Brother Nick said something one time that really stayed with me. You know, he was talking about those certain areas of weaknesses in our lives where it's no matter how hard we try and no matter how hard we try to just walk in the fullness of victory, we just have those times when we're always falling short and we're always failing. You know, those areas in our life where we just haven't come into complete victory yet. And Brother Nick said something that really stayed with me. He said, God will keep covering it until you get it right. Now, he went on to explain, he wasn't talking about people that just see grace as a license to sin. You know, you have many like that. They just have this view of grace that, you know, God loves me and I'm covered by grace so I can live any old way I want to after all I'm covered. No, he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about people who truly love the Lord and they have a desire to grow and they have a desire to come into victory, but yet they just haven't come into the fullness yet in that area. Beloved, I'm telling you, because it rings in my heart, the mercy of God will cover it until you finally get it right. And why will God's mercy cover it until you finally get it right? Because God sees the day that you're going to get up and walk and cast away your crippled mat because you won't need it anymore. God sees the day that your breakthrough is going to come. God sees the day that his life is going to break through and you are supernaturally going to rise up in resurrection power and you're not going to fall again. So he says, in my mercy, I'm going to cover it. I'm going to cover it until you get it right. But the religiousness of our own hearts wants to be offended by that. Well, God is holy. He's holy. He's holy. How can he keep covering it over and over and over again? And God says, it's because I see a day that you're going to rise up in resurrection power. And those things that you think are doomed to defeat you, you will walk in victory over. There's going to come a time you're going to step out of the boat and you will not sink. And if it takes 100 times, I will lift you up 100 times because I know that 101st time is coming. So is the religiousness of our own hearts our stumbling block? Do we stumble at the fact that his mercy is higher than the heavens? Amen. God says, I see the day when my supernatural life is going to break through, and that which is withered, that which is dried up, is going to rise up in supernatural power and walk. That's why I cover it, and I cover it, and I cover it until you get it right. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I guess the question becomes, what is God telling you to take hold of? In the deep secret places of your heart, what is it that God is speaking you to have the courage to believe for and ask for? I believe there are people here, and God has already been speaking into the deep personal places where only you and God can hear. He's been speaking into the deep personal places of your heart. Take hold of faith and believe for victory over that secret sin that's dominating your life. Believe me for freedom over that bondage that holds you in the secret places of captivity that you think nobody knows about. I believe God has been speaking to someone. Take hold of hope and believe that I'm stronger than your past. That your past does not determine your future. I believe God has already been speaking to someone. That area in your heart where you desire to see change, but change just seems slow, so slow in coming. Take hold of faith and believe that as we walk together, the breakthrough is coming. that there is nothing in your life more powerful than the grace that is working in your life. I believe the Lord is speaking to someone. The mistakes you made in your past that you are constantly lamenting over, take hold of hope and believe that my faithfulness is so much greater than your past mistakes. And I have covered them with mercy. And now I'm leading you into a good land full of hope and promise. Take hold of it. Amen. And I want to tell you something. When God says take hold of something, it doesn't matter how impossible it is. It doesn't matter how far beyond your strength it is. It doesn't matter how powerful your past is. If God says that you can believe for the supernatural, you can believe for it. You know why? Because faith is in your spiritual DNA. When you got saved and the life of God came into you, with that life came a faith that says it doesn't matter how impossible it is with man. If God says I can believe for it, he can do it. So we can believe. It doesn't take but a mustard seed size of faith to move a mountain. And the Lord says if you do have some unbelief, just cry out, Lord, I believe. Help now my unbelief. And I'm not going to leave you in that condition. You can believe for the supernatural. Amen. Amen. So what has the Lord been telling you? Take hold of. What's he been speaking in those deep places of your life? I know this is so far beyond your strength. I know you failed in this over and over and over again. But I am giving you the power to take hold of faith and believe that as you walk with me, my life will go into the withered places, the dried up places, the desiccated places, the strengthless places, the powerless places. And you will know victory. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Bow your head this morning. My altar call is simply this. You know, God has been speaking things that he wants to do in my life that are so far beyond my strength. But yet he's given me a power to take hold of it. I do believe there is a supernatural life that's in me that can go into those places where all I've ever known is strengthlessness, all I've ever known is failure. All I've ever known is lifelessness. All I've ever known is barrenness. God's life can flow into those places and he can bring life. He can bring power. He can bring victory. He can bring freedom. And this morning I'm going to come and I'm going to take hold of it by faith. That thing God has been speaking so personally to my heart. I can believe. I can believe. And I hear the Lord saying, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. That's all I'm asking you to do, to stretch out your hand. Just believe that it's for you. And I'll give you the power to take hold of it. And you will see life. You will see victory. You will see freedom in these places. So if that's you this morning, I just want you to come to the altar this morning. And by faith, I want you to just take hold of it. In the neediness of your heart, in the neediness of your life. By faith, take hold of the things that God is speaking. God, by faith, it may be impossible by man. It may be beyond man's help. But God, it's not beyond your life. It's not beyond your power. And God, I take hold of it. I know the things that you're speaking to my heart. I know the freedom that you're promising. I know the deliverance that you're promising. I know the prison doors that you said you're going to open as I walk with you. And God, I'm going to take hold of it by faith. God, and I'm going to believe you for it. I'm going to believe you for it. I'm going to believe you for it, God. I'm going to believe you for that deliverance. I'm going to believe you for that victory. I'm going to believe you for that freedom. God, I take hold of it by faith. I believe for it, God. I believe for it. Amen. Now just talk to the Lord. I'm just going to give you a moment. Just you and God. And just talk to the Lord. Lord, I take hold of it by faith. God, you are able. God, those private things, those personal things, those personal deliverances that you've been speaking to my heart in the secret places of my life. God, I believe you for it. I stretch out my hands and I take hold of it, God. Beloved, talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to Him. Talk to the Lord this morning, because He's here this morning. You know, every time we sing that song, Majesty, it's a song about the Lord's majesty, a song about the Lord's glory. And every time we sing that song, I can't help but think of Isaiah 6. When Isaiah walks into the temple, and suddenly the glory of the Lord shows up. The majesty of the Lord shows up. He said, I saw the king sitting upon the throne, and his train filled the temple. And suddenly, in the light of the glory and the majesty of the king, a cry comes to Isaiah's heart. And that cry was simply this: woe is me, I'm undone. You know, when I get a glimpse of the majesty of Christ, all I can say is, I am undone. But in that story, if you listen a little closer, there's not just a cry coming out of Isaiah's heart, but there's a cry coming out of God's heart. And that cry is simply this: Isaiah, I know who you are. I know your sins. I know your weaknesses. I know your failings. But Isaiah, don't run from my presence. Don't run from my presence. Because if you stay in my presence long enough, I will take the coals of grace off the altar. And I will come to your point of need. And I will change you. And beloved, that's God's word to all of us. See, there's no greater place of transformation than being in the presence of God. That's where you change. I really think God's presence, His holy presence, is a refining fire. And just being in His presence changes you. But see, the enemy knows that. The last place in the world the enemy wants you is in the presence of God. So he'll make you do, he'll do everything he can to make you feel of being unworthy to be in his presence. He'll tell you you're not worthy enough to be in his presence. You failed too many times to be in his presence. Look at this one area in your life that you're really struggling with. You think God's going to cover over and over and over again. You have no right to be in his presence. But this is what Jesus says. No, 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 no. I want you in my presence. Because I know if I get you in my presence long enough, you will change. So my righteousness has covered you and my mercy has covered you. You have every right to be in my refining presence. And every time, I'll take the coals of grace off the altar. And I'll touch something in your heart. Don't run from my presence. Love my presence. Tarry in my presence. Because it's impossible not to be in my presence and not become like me. It's me that draws you into my presence. Amen. In the light of his majesty, God says, tarry in my presence. Amen. Let's just sing that song one more time. And then we'll just close in prayer. Let's just sing it again. Beloved, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, thank you that I can come into the presence of your majesty so freely and just know that the altar of grace and the coals of grace are there for me, God. Father, it's not about my strength. It's not about my covering. It's about the cross. And I thank you, God, that as I come into your presence, Lord, you change me. You make me more like Jesus. Let's just take a moment to worship the Lord, and then we'll close this morning. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're calling each one of us to just stretch out our hands and take hold of things that we know is so far beyond ourselves, so far beyond our strength, God. But God, what is impossible with man is not impossible with God. And Lord, you've said in your word that you've come to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Them are the things that you've come to do in the lives of broken people. And God, it doesn't matter how far beyond it is, beyond ourselves, God. You can deliver us out of our places of captivity. You can heal those places that are broken and fragmented. God, you can change us in those areas that have been so captivated by the sin nature. God, you can do that. And you're just telling us to reach out in faith and believe and take hold of these things and embrace them to our hearts because they are for us. God, they are for us. And God, if you be for us, who can be against us? If you be for us, who can shorten your hand in our life? If you be for us, who can forfeit the faithfulness of God's working in our hearts? If you be for us. And God, I thank you. You've been speaking to people of the great things that you want to do in their life. As you just walk with me, I will open your prison doors. I will break your bonds of captivity. I will heal those places that are broken. I will bring spiritual freedom in places where all you've ever known is defeat. Just walk with me and I will do this. And as you just stretch your hands out in faith and take hold of my promises and embrace them to your heart, I will be faithful. And I thank you for that, God. God, I thank you, Jesus, when you died on the cross, you didn't die on the cross to leave us a victim to anything. God, we are more than conquerors in Christ. And God, we believe. We're like Abraham. We are persuaded that the things that you have promised you are able to perform. And we thank you, God. We thank you. Beloved, let's stand and let's close in prayer this morning. And of course, you're always free to stay longer at the altar if you don't want to leave the altar. If you just want a longer moment with God, you're always free to stay in the altar. Father, I thank you that we've been in a place of mercy and hope this morning, God. Lord, we've been in a place where one more time you've told us to look beyond ourselves and our strength and look to the strength of our God and the faithfulness of our God. Lord, I know it's true. It's impossible to be in a place with a heart ready to receive and not hear your call to believe for things that are so far beyond us. God, to believe. It may be impossible with man, but it's not impossible with God. Believe. Lord, we all have areas in our heart and there are places in our life where we just need you to come and work something that's so far beyond ourselves. And God, you are so faithful to just come and say, believe. Just believe. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. God, I thank you. We've been in a life-transforming place. God, I thank you for the worship this morning. I thank you for the strength that your presence brings in times of worship. And I thank you for the power of your word. And God, let us just all walk out of here this morning, stretching our hands out and taking hold of the things that you're speaking and embracing them to our hearts in faith, God. I pray for that. Lord, we love you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you want to stay around the altar a little bit longer, feel free to. You might want to play just a couple of minutes.